WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will your message be taken away from you? Don't
ignore
it. No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Inside Ben Davis Football. I'm your host, David Mills, and I'm joined today by John Easter and Coach Kirshner. Jeff Robinson is not here as of right now, but he could be on his way. We are down at Church's Chicken on West 10th Street, as always, and we can't thank them enough for the hospitality they provide weekly for our crew. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing well, doing well. It's a really nice evening out there. Whoops.
Would help pretty hot yesterday.
Turn you on there, Coach. There you go.
That's all right. It got pretty hot yesterday, but it was actually more football-ish weather. Cool. You know, we had a little rain when we started practice, but also want to thank Churches. Really appreciate their hospitality.
Okay. all right, Coach, can you tell us a little bit about last night's 42-7 win against the Lawrence Central Bears?
Well, we played a really, really good football team in Lawrence Central, and very physical, very talented. I was real pleased with the way we got started. We got out of the gate fast. We got a three and out defensively, went down, took advantage of it, scored, got another three and out, went down and took advantage of the short field again and went down and scored, got up 14-0 really quick. So I was really pleased with the way we started. I thought our focus was very good because you're playing a team with D1 superstars like McGrone and Bellamy, and they have a running back by the name of Childs. It was really good, and their scheme was really good. They tried to take away some things we were doing defensively, and they put a real nice drive together right before half, and we kind of bowed up down at the goal line and were able to get out of it. And then I thought we started the second half really fast. You know, we're up 21-0 at half. We started with the ball to start the second half. We were very efficient with the ball. We went down and scored, made it 28-0. But like all good teams, and they're one of them, they went down and scored, made it 28-7, and then they almost forced a critical point in the game. They almost forced a turnover. Our punt returner was had a really good punt return going, and they punched the ball out from the backside. And fortunately, our defensive end Willie Irvin fell on it, because I really felt like if they'd have gotten that, went and scored, now it's 28-14. You know, I don't know that we were in trouble because it was getting to be late in the third, but we weren't comfortable either at that point. But we were able to get it back, you know, got it up to 35-7 going into the fourth. And, you know, then we scored one late in the game to make it 42. You know, they slowed the game down on us a little bit, which seems to be a thing we're getting from quite a few people here of late. They were using the clock. I thought they did a really good job of running the ball. Childs had 18 carries for 96 yards. I thought Merriweather was efficient when he had some opportunities. Number 32 ran the ball. Their offensive line gave us fits. I really wasn't happy at times with how we played up front. I thought we had took a step backward at times up front. We've been making that a point of emphasis this week. And obviously we're going to see him again in a little less than 3 weeks now. And we're going to have to figure out how to play better. And I know some people look at me like I'm crazy, but they're going to be better. You know, one of the things that people say is it's hard to prepare for our offense. Well, now they've seen it. So now they're going to be better prepared for it. So we've got to be better prepared. We've got to come up with new ideas and new schematics maybe and find ways to take advantage of what we're doing. But overall, obviously, it was a great win. Moved us to 8-0. They win the MIC conference outright, which we have not done since 2003, which was my son's senior year. And we kind of backed into that when we'd gotten beat early by Warren. Didn't really think we had a chance of winning it. Warren was really good that year. And then Warren got upset by Carmel, I believe, in Lawrence North, the last game of the regular season. So they finished 5-2, and we finished 6-1. So, you know, to win this kind of a conference outright is in some respects is almost like winning a state championship. I mean, I know people may look at me like I'm crazy, but you know, you throw in our non-conference opponent of Avon, who's ranked in the top five in the state, and you've played five other top five teams in the state, or top 10 teams in the state, and with the exception of a couple here or there, you've kind of gone through the gauntlet once, and now you get to do it all over again.
Yeah, and you talk about playing a team now. I know the MIC had made some changes in the schedule prior to this go-around, where I think 3 or 4 years ago they shuffled the schedule, and that's why instead of playing Carmel the last game, instead of playing...
Used to be Terre Haute. Before that, it was Carmel.
Yeah.
When I first got here, you were right. You were exactly right.
Okay.
It was Carmel, and then they shuffled it, and we ended up getting Terre Haute North for a while. Like when Tom Allen, in 2003, our last game was at Terre Haute North. That's when we won it. And then it went back to Carmel for a while. Then it got shuffled again, and that's when we ended up with North Central week
number. Well, the change was made because there was a possibility of some of the teams playing each other early in the tournament. Now you're back to that situation again. So, you know, this is kind of looking ahead, I suppose. But you mentioned how the changes that you'll make now between now and 2 weeks from now when you play LC again. What exactly goes into that? I mean, it's obviously at this point it's hard to hide from each other because we talked off air about how you guys trade film and you know everything there is to know about each other going in. How hard is it to find new stuff and put new stuff in at this point in the year?
Well, obviously we'll trade our last games. We'll trade our North Central and they'll give us their Carmel. They've got Carmel this week. So we'll trade that and see if anything's changed. Also, you check personnel. Has anybody got anybody that's injured? You know, did we get people knocked off last week and this week that are no longer playing that maybe we can exploit somebody else? So you look at personnel, and then you look to see what you did well and what you didn't do well. Why didn't you do that well? Was it a schematic problem, or was it a personnel problem? Or if it's a scheme problem, is there another way we could have done it that might have led us to be successful on that we can change up? And then from a defensive standpoint, you look at, you know, what can we take advantage of? They ran the ball so well on us. You got to think they're probably thinking they can still run the ball on us. So what do we got to do to take away the run? And then special teams, you know, we just got to find a way to keep flipping field position. I thought we gained an advantage there. We kicked off really well, pinned them deep. We had one touchback. Their kickoffs didn't quite go as far. We were getting the ball to 35 or 40. We had a good punt return, even though we fumbled it. It was still a 20-yard punt return before he fumbled it. And so I think we got to take advantage of that when we get the chance.
Now, you mentioned the defensive line. You weren't too satisfied with their performance. But was it because they were having an off night as a whole, or was it that the offensive line of Warren Central was just that much more dominant?
Both. To answer your question, we had a couple kids who did not play well. I'm not going to use their names, but they've been addressed by me, literally. I mean, we sat down. A couple of them had to come into a private film session with me and say, if this is how we're going to play, then we need to find something else to do or for you to do because we're not going to continue playing like this. And so, you know, and then some of it was their offensive line is huge. I mean, they got two 320-pounders on one side. They got a center that's 340, and they kind of got on us and just kind of pushed us around. So that's why you now have to look at scheme to see if there's something they're doing blocking-wise that we can take advantage of to give our kids a better chance of success.
Coach, obviously the win, you kind of mentioned it and touched on it. It gave you the outright MIC title, and that is something that I know you guys have been working on. But it was the first one that you personally have won since you've been the head coach at Ben Davis. What's it mean to you personally to have won that outright with your team?
Yeah, because we shared it with a couple teams in 2012 and then shared it with one other team in 2013. So we've been close, you know, in both those years we finished the conference in 6-1. But from a standpoint of me personally, I don't know that I've really thought about it that much other than the fact, you know, that you set out each year to accomplish goals, you know, and ultimately our goal is to win the state. That's the only real top goal we have, just like Carmel and Warren and everybody that's used to getting there. But it's a culmination of a lot of hard work, especially in the winter, in the weight room and strength and speed development and summer camps. And, you know, it's good for the school. It's good for the community. You know, this particular fall, I think since I've been here, in the 18 years I've been here, I think it's the first time we've had two MIC champs in the fall in the 18 years I've been here. You know, boys soccer won it this year with a 6-1 record. And of course, we're sitting right now at 6-0 with one to go. But that's kind of unique in and of itself for us. And so that's pretty neat. It's tough to win a conference. It's hard for people to comprehend that when in our conference alone in football, there's five or six teams. And at one point early in the season, in the top 12, I think there was all eight of us were ranked in the top 12 or something like that at one point. And then you start looking at the other sports and girls soccer, Carmel and North Central always up there, and boys soccer, Carmel and North Central always up there, and tennis, Carmel and North Central always competing for state titles in tennis, and volleyball, you got Carmel volleyball that's really good, and Center Grove volleyball that's really good, and then all the and all of it's like, golly, it's hard just to win it. It's hard to even, you throw cross country. When was the last time you didn't see boys and girls Carmel cross country number one? I mean, it's hard to find
swimming.
Swimming, you know, and so just the idea that you can win one every now and then is a feat in of itself. So I think it's a combination of a lot of hard work by a lot of people, coaches, players, everybody.
Definitely. Do you have any more questions for the first half?
Well, just from the standpoint, LC, kind of putting yourself in Coach Peeble's position now, what do you do on his end, do you think, as you're looking at Ben Davis again in 2 weeks?
Well,
how do you keep your team, you know, we lost 42-7. Yeah. How do you keep your team motivated?
Well, he won't have any problem motivating them because it's a tournament, and
right,
everybody knows you're one and done. You know, I don't know what he'll do schematically. I mean, I'm going to throw everything at me but the kitchen sink. I mean, I'm going to run reverses and halfback passes, and I'm going, man, because there's nothing to hold back, and we're kind of the same way. We're not going to sit here and be conservative. You know, we don't want to go there and hope to win 7-0. You know,
right,
we want to keep this thing going and keep the pace going. And so he won't have any troubles motivating him. In fact, if anything, it kind of works against you, me, a little bit. And I'll take you back to 2012. We finished the regular season 8-1. We'd beaten Pike during the regular season 24-0. And we go up there in the first round of the tournament and just absolutely get beat up. I mean, Derek Moyers had his kid on edge. They were fired up. I mean, they lost to us 24-0. You'd think our kids were flat. The whole week in practice, we kept saying they don't care. And you can bring those kids back to this day. You can bring them back, sit them in this chair, put them on the radio, and they'll tell you that they didn't think there was any way they could lose, and they just didn't care. And everything we were telling them was a lie. And we got beat 35-25. It wasn't a lie. And we kept telling them they were a good football team. So they'll be you know, we're going to have to go through a run in the tournament. We're probably going to have to beat everybody twice. You know, I told them last night after practice, we're going to replay the MIC schedule. So you now have to win the MIC twice if you want to succeed.
Yeah. Sounds pretty. You're good?
I'm done.
All right, we're good. So Lawrence Central, they're 6-2 now, and they're going to who's their next opponent?
They got to go. They got their last home game with Carmel this week.
Yeah. Carmel. Okay,
yep.
So we'll see what happens then, and then in 2 weeks from now, we'll have another big game. So we're going to send it to Reggie back in the studio right now, and for a 1 minute break, and then we'll be back for the second half of the show.
WBDG thanks Church's Chicken at 7224 West 10th Street for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast. Church's is open from 10:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. daily. Church's offers a variety of chicken, fish, wings, and side dishes, as well as snacks, finger foods, and honey butter biscuits. Church's Chicken can be reached at 317-644-0574. WBDG thanks Church's Chicken for its support of this sports broadcast. This WBDG sports broadcast is made possible by Build Your Future Indiana. 2 million skilled construction jobs are in demand nationwide. This increased demand means job security for those who are certified to work in construction. And 20% of the workforce will retire in the next 5 years. Starting wages for craft professionals range from $17 to $30 per hour. To find out how to go pro in construction, visit indiana.byf.org.
Okay, Coach, if you could tell us how you plan to go after the North Central Panthers this week.
Well, we're dealing with a new coaching staff, and Mark Brown, guys I've known for a long, long time. Good football coaches that came from Lafayette Central Catholic, where they had, I believe, Kevin in his years at Lafayette Central Catholic. I believe he was there 9, and I believe in that time he was 114 wins and 9 losses and 4 or 5 state titles. So it's some absurd number, unheard of in football terms. And he's brought that winning mentality to North Central. And they started off the year really fast. They beat North Central, North Central beat Fishers right out of the box, 19-17. Followed that with a great win over Hamilton Southeastern and started off 2-0. Hit a bump on week 3, ran into Warren Central. Then the next week they beat, an up-and-coming Lawrence North team that we know continues to get better every year. And in the last 4 weeks, they've kind of struggled offensively, but they're not out of it. And what I mean by that is, they're sitting on Carmel's 2-yard line, down 10-7 with 40 seconds to go, and they fumble. If they don't fumble, they probably beat Carmel 14-10. The next week, they're up 15-7 at halftime on Lawrence Central. Lawrence Central scores 2 in the second half to win 21-15. So they're on the cusp of greatness. They really are. Their defense is very physical, very athletic. Got a great corner in DJ Johnson, who's an Iowa commit. They moved their quarterback from last year, Cole McGuire, who was state runner-up in the low hurdles, number 15. They moved him from cube quarterback to wide receiver. He's got 38 catches for 500 and some yards. They've got a young man playing quarterback, Leah Thompson. Throws the ball really well. He's thrown for a couple thousand yards and 6 touchdowns. Their offensive line is very large. A couple 300-pounders up front, 6'4", 300. And number 9's the other receiver with 20-some catches and 400 yards. So they're very efficient. They throw the ball around. They take advantage of what you give them. And you can just tell it's a different team with a different attitude and a different approach to the game.
Ben Davis, this is now the second longest-running rivalry this will be the 69th meeting between these two schools. So when you go all the way back, Ben Davis won the first meeting, and then North Central really didn't let Ben Davis back up for many, many years. And then in 2009, believe it or not, so all the way from 1958 or 59 to 2009, it had either been tied or North Central led. And then in 2010, Ben Davis finally took the lead, and you guys have been kind of on a roll ever since. I think, in fact, going back to 2005, won every game in the series. So when you look at this series over time, I mean, the North Central program does have a very proud past, and you can talk about some of their great players that they've had in the past. And this used to be a big ticket game. Not that it's not on Friday, I'm not saying that, but this used to be Ben Davis and North Central. I can remember this was the sellout game at Ben Davis every year. So Coach O'Shea, he's come in, he's trying to kind of bring that back. What have you seen on film? What kind of difference have you seen in the way his kids are playing now? Not saying anything bad about any previous administration there, but what do you see different just in the way the kids play?
Well, before I answer that question, I'm going to back up to something you said about the tradition. And we can add to this, when Tom Allen was brought in as the D coordinator in 98, Coach Delahan, when he interviewed people, he would say, all right, I'm going to give you a film. You break down the film and you tell me how you're going to defend this or run an offense, whatever he was hiring at the time. And I remember Tom telling me that when Coach D brought him in, he didn't give him the Carmel film or the Warren film. He gave him the North Central film, and he said, I want to know how you're going to defend North Central, because he said on their schedule at that time, with Al Herrance being at North Central and running the run and shoot, which is what they were running, that was the number one team they struggled to defend. So I know when I came in 2000, when Tom was interviewing me as an assistant for him, he said, this is our number one problem, how would you do this, this, and this? And so I had to answer those questions as well. So that goes back to what you were saying, is that proud tradition that North Central had. And I can remember playing against really good kids back when I played back in the 70s, and then that followed up with Thurman and Lars Tate and some of those guys who went on to be big-time football players or baseball player. In the case of Thurman, he played for the Royals. So there is that long-standing tradition. Here's what he's done. Kevin has breathed life into them in the sense they believe they can win. They believe they belong on the field. In the years past, and I know the other staff quite well, so I'm not – in fact, 4 years ago, one of the guys on the staff was my own son. So I know who they've been through.
Right.
It was one of those – they believed they could play with certain people. They didn't believe they could play with other people in our conference. And so he's got them to the point now where they don't think, oh, it's Carmel. No, we're going to go beat Carmel. And so when you change your mindset – your kids that you thought were just average now take their game up a level. It's another notch. It's another physicality. They're senior loaded. They got 35 seniors on their roster. They start 8 seniors both sides of the ball, which is new. In the years past, they haven't been senior loaded. And I know the old staff was kind of waiting for this year to come because most of these kids started as sophomores and as juniors, and this was kind of their year. And so he's senior loaded. They're really good. They play fast. They play physical. They line up. They know where they're supposed to be. It's going to be a real interesting game for our final home game this year.
You mentioned a big offensive line that they had, and last week you said that was a problem as well because they were just big and just physicality-wise they outmanned you guys. Do you think it's going to be a big problem this week, or do you think you kind of got through to them with individual sit-downs and stuff since this last game?
Well, I hope we got through to them, but the same thing could happen. I mean, our defensive line is not big. Willie Irvin weighs 200 pounds. Our other DN weighs 220. Our tackles are okay at 250, 260 pounds. But, you know, last year we were playing LaShawn Minor, who weighed, he was 6'3", 300 as a D-tackle. Our one end was Asazi, who's at Minnesota, and he was 6'6", 240 pounds. So we were a different type of D line. So and our one D tackle that plays a lot, you know, Malik Temple, he's only a sophomore and he's 15 years old. So we're still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to get him to play a certain tempo in a certain way, and they're coachable. They're getting after it in practice, but we've got to get better because we're going to see a big O line this week, a big O line against LC, a big O line against Warren. It really just doesn't end. So we've got to find a way to get our kids to play lower, use their center of gravity, and then use their quickness to beat them off the ball.
This is a question that I think I've asked every year going into a game like this. Do you ever consider resting anybody in a game like this?
No. I don't have that. Well, I guess I do have the luxury. I guess if you look at this game on paper, you'd say, okay, you know, let's not play Reese. If we take a loss, we take a loss. I don't know. That's not why I came here. I didn't come here to all right, we're going to – I also think you send your kids the wrong message. Our kids want to play. They want to play. They want to win. And honestly, you got a chance for something pretty unique. To sit here, we were – I think Chuck Schwanekamp pointed out to me today, there are 320-plus schools that play football, 21, 22, I'm not sure exactly what the number is anymore, that play football in the state of Indiana. There are exactly 15 undefeated schools left that are sitting at 8-0. You can be one of the 5% of all the schools in Indiana that can say at the regular season, we ended up undefeated. And I know for a fact there's not going to be 15 because a couple of them got to play each other. A couple of the 8-0 teams are getting ready to play each other. So somebody's getting knocked off. And so you're going to get down to maybe the top 4% of the teams that finish the regular season undefeated. And you know, no matter what happens in the tournament, that's hard to do. That's really difficult. And you think about our schedule and who we've had to play and what we've had to overcome sometimes and losing some kids to injury and to still be sitting here thinking, man, we haven't lost. You know, I don't know. We're not resting anybody, whatever. We're playing.
Well, if you do get big, like get up big, though, you'll sit people.
Sometimes. we haven't sat many this year now. I mean, we've been kind of on a mission. Our kids – our kids love to compete, but we do. You know, we've been up, you know, halftime at Tech. We didn't put our kids back in, and we left our kids sit. And, you know, we pull them when we get to that point. Absolutely.
Well, and your JV team's doing well as well this year.
They're 8-0 as well.
Plug.
No, they're 8-0. They haven't been beaten. And since I've been the head coach, that's never happened. We've had numerous 8-1 teams. We've never had a 9-0. When they play Saturday, you know, right now in their MIC games, they're 6-0. You know, if they win Saturday, there's a couple other teams that are sitting at 5-1. But if we win Saturday, they'll finish with their MIC record at 7-0. And all of a sudden, you're looking at what we're doing, and you're like, your varsity and your JV both are 9-0. That's kind of hard to comprehend, even from all the years I've been playing. Because I asked my son in 2001, our varsity finished 9-0 regular season, but our JV did not. You know, he couldn't remember for a fact. He said they either lost to Center Grove or Warren that year, but they were like 8-1. So it's, I think you got to go back to 19. Jay Douglas was telling me he think it was 1997. No, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. 1999 that both teams were undefeated.
Yeah,
regular season.
Well, and that wasn't necessarily expected out of this JV group because I know they early on they'd struggled a little bit. They kind of got through a couple of games and then. Now they've been on a roll. So how much do you think what the varsity team is doing has rubbed off on not only your JV, but also the freshmen have really improved?
It does. It's the old adage, and I'm sure you've heard this, winning breeds winning. You know, our freshman team started off really sluggish this year, and in fact, at one point I wasn't sure they'd win a game. They've now won three of their last four. They got a chance to finish 500 and finish 4-3 in conference play with a win on Saturday. So they're pretty excited. In fact, our JV, to give you an example of how it is, our JVC team went and played Cathedral's A team last night. You know, we're playing their good varsity, our good JV team. We're playing it's our thirds and fourths on our JV, and they lost, and you'd have thought the world ended. I mean, it was like, we don't want to lose, you know. I mean, you could tell it had really bothered them. And there's been years our C team's gone and played, and it's like, okay, whatever. But it really bothered them. Our kids competed hard. We were really proud of them last night. We were just outmanned a little bit. But winning breeds winning. Our kids walk on the field. Our JV walks on the field. And they don't expect to lose. We went up to Carmel 2 weeks ago, and they absolutely played their butts off. You know, we win 21-7 against a really good Carmel JV team that hadn't been beat. And we competed. I mean, we just went up there and competed. And then last Saturday they beat a good LC team 34-0. So they're kind of hitting their stride. You know, we've given up. I think they told me in the last three games, JV has given up one touchdown, two shutouts. So that bodes well for the future.
Have you moved anybody up since seeing them play in JV
no,
or anything?
No. What we do see is. This kid, when I say move them up, that doesn't mean necessarily move up and play varsity, but they move up our depth chart. You know, I'll point out one in particular that's really come along here of late. It's Darren Bunton, one of my corners. I've really been pleased with the way he's playing, the way he's focused, the way he's paying attention, and so all of a sudden, you know, in practice instead of just playing scout team, he starts getting a couple varsity reps. In case I get a kid down, this kid's going to go in.
Going back to the Lawrence Central game for a moment and then kind of making the question more at large to the entire season. You guys were going to line up for a 45-yard field goal attempt in that LC game on fourth. I think it was 4th-and-7. LC jumps off sides, makes it 4th-and-2, and that changes the calculus a little bit for your offense. But there was a time in the not-so-distant past, that you never would have lined up for a 45-yard field goal.
Actually, the last time we would have done that would have been 2002.
Right.
I'm sorry, 2012.
Right.
When we had Sterling Stedham, who kicked that 50-some-yarder to beat Warren 6-3. In fact, that year we set the MIC record for field goals, but it was two different kids. Remember, it was Brad Phelps' boy Bryce kicked the field goals inside the 20, and Sterling kicked the field goals outside the 20.
Well, but there have been years when you didn't really have a strong kicking game, at least for field goals. Talk about how that's gone this year.
You said not in the not-so-distant past. That was last year we wouldn't kick a field goal. We just wouldn't kick one. It was like we're just going for it. What has happened is we had two young men move in. Both of them are on our boys' soccer team. Vincent Torres, who does our kickoff, then Isaac Torres, who does our field goals, and then we also have a young man who's a sophomore, and Vincent's a senior, Isaac's a junior, then we also have a sophomore in Zach Fox, who's inside the 20, is really good at field goals. He's getting much, much better at kickoffs. When he gets his physical strength up, he's going to be excellent. So we, for the first time in a long time, we felt like we have kickers. We have a kickoff guy with a little bit of wind, can get a touchback. But, you know, we haven't been able to get touchbacks. We've been sky kicking and giving the ball to people at the 35 for the last 2-3 years. So this has been a real pleasant surprise. We don't stress about our kicking game like we used to. We actually look like a high school kicking game instead of guys trying to hide your kicking game. We haven't had to punt much. Nibs does our kick punting. We've punted now 7 times in 8 games, so we really haven't had to punt the ball much, but he's an excellent punter.
And how hard, I know we're running long here, but how hard is that for him? He doesn't get much. I mean, he gets the reps in practice, right, but he doesn't get the on-the-field reps. And there's a difference when that ball's coming at you and people are coming at you that want to take your head off.
Right.
How difficult is that for a punter who isn't in the rhythm? He just goes out there and every once in a while has to perform. He's hit some really good punts this year.
Yeah, it is tough. We've talked about that because he's also missed a few.
Right.
And we've been fortunate enough to get some rolls. Because Jeff Poizel actually tells me, watching him practice, he said he's probably a major college punter. But we haven't hit those. Today, he hit a couple 50-yarders. They were just dead spirals, point coming straight down. Just beautiful punts today in practice. But it is hard. He's not getting any rhythm in the game because he may punt one time, you know. Honestly,
it's a good problem to have.
I was going to say, honestly, if he's only punting one time, I'm doing pretty good.
Right.
You know, I'm not sitting here saying, man, we got to get our punter more reps in games. Don't go for it. You know, we're going to keep playing offense. We try to duplicate the kind of rush he's going to get. We try to do that kind of stuff in practice to kind of get that mentality going. But if he ever just puts his foot into it in the game, man, it's an unbelievable punt. I mean, he's as good a punter as I've seen. We just haven't quite seen it carry over to the games yet.
All right, well, you got anything else?
I'm done.
Okay, we're going to give it to you for the last bit of words here.
Well, I believe this Friday is cancer night, you know, to stomp out breast cancer, and everybody's wearing pink, and we're hoping for a big crowd. I looked at the weather. It's supposed to be sunny and low 70s on Friday, so it's another beautiful night to come out and watch football. You're getting – if you haven't come out and watched one, you're missing it, because this team – probably ranks, we may not win any more games, but it probably ranks up there with one of the funnest teams to watch play in the last whatever number of years, and John's been around a long time too. We're fun to watch, and that's what everybody tells me, and we've had great home crowds, great student sections, a great way to kick off fall break, so come out and support these guys, man. We're playing some good ball.
And it should be said too, if you come out and support football, you're also supporting athletics.
That's exactly right.
Davis High School.
And you're supporting all athletics, because this money goes to basketball, track, whatever. It goes to everybody. It's nothing.
All right. Well, you guys heard it from Coach and John. Come out and support Ben Davis against the North Central Panthers at 7, Friday, October 13th. And you said
Friday
it was
the 13th.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even realize that in October. So that concludes this edition of Inside Ben Davis Football, and we will send it back to Reggie at the studio.